chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. You have your place in God's Word and you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Holy Word? 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Verse 19, Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, verse 23, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts. And Lord, you know our needs. You know the situation that each of us deal with tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'll all be drawn closer to you. Father, I pray that if there might be one here that's never been saved, Lord, today be the day of their salvation. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help me tonight. Lord, I need you. I pray you'd help me to say exactly what I need to say. And Father, that I might be a blessing to the folks. And we'll just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you notice there in that last verse, it says, It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled, Refreshed or Revived? Refreshed or Revived? Folks, we need revival in our lives. Amen. It's one thing to be refreshed, but it's quite another to see a real change in our lives. Here we see that God had placed Saul in this position as king. All right, it wasn't God's perfect will. God would have rather had his man run things, but the people wanted a king, and so God gave them the desires of their heart. That's not the message, but a king. God never intended for His people to have a king to rule over them. All right, but nonetheless, God picked out a king and says, "All right, this will be your king." Now let's notice in chapter 15. Go back to chapter 15 and verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. All right, so the Lord chose him. The Lord chose Saul and said, I want you to be the king over my people. Saul was God's choice to be the king. Go back, leave your finger there in chapter 15 and drop back to chapter 10 for just a moment, if you would. Chapter 10, look at verse 6 and 7. And this is when Samuel, the prophet, when Samuel is first approaching Saul about this idea of being king, and Samuel is telling Saul what to expect, all right? Saul's a young man. Saul was a goodly man, the Bible says. And in verse 6, it says, And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, Thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come upon thee, that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Now notice here, this is kind of like the new Christian, amen? When the Lord saves us, praise God, we become a new creature in Christ, all right? That's what he says. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, Saul, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're going to be a new man. Did you notice what he said? The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Now, folks, that's where we are. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. A little different than the Holy Spirit back in that day. Same Spirit, all right? But he works differently in New Testament times. But nonetheless, the Spirit of God indwells the Christian upon their salvation. And we're a new creature in Christ, all right? We're new. We ought to be different. We ought to appear different. We ought to act different. Our life ought to be different. There should be a change if we've really been saved. And it says here in verse 7, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Hey, folks, when we get saved, the Lord indwells us and he's with us. Amen? We don't go out on our own anymore. All right? And we find that we're able to do things, preacher, that we didn't think we could do before. When God called me to preach, I didn't think I could do it. And I'll be honest with you, I fought the Lord for quite a while. I says, Lord, I don't think I can preach. Lord, that's just not me. I couldn't stand in front of people. I'm telling you what, it was embarrassing to me when I was in high school and I had to get up and give a speech in front of the class, read a report, I mean, anything basic. It didn't matter how big or small it was. I mean, I was terrified to get in front of people. Now they can't get me to shut up, you know. but you see, the Bible says that Saul, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you'll be able to do things that you didn't think you could do. You'll be able to you'll be a new man. And he says that you just do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Folks, when we have an occasion to speak for the Lord, just do it. Just do it. God's with you. You're not on your own. You know, you have an opportunity to hand a gospel tract to somebody and say, oh, but I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of what they might say. You know, they'll probably say, thank you. Yeah. Hand it to them with a smile and say, hey, I just want to give you something to read when you get a chance. Hey, this will tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? Well, yes. I mean, who wouldn't like to know that? You know, and it's really not that hard. But God will help you to do it. God will help you to speak for him. God will help you to work for him, you see, because the Lord is with thee. So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us at salvation. It came upon Saul here at his calling or his anointing from God to be king. God didn't say you're going to be a king and you got to do it all on your own. He says, the Spirit of God will be with you, all right, and enable you to do this task that is upon you to do. Now back to chapter 15. Now, Samuel came to Saul and says, hey, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. Now therefore, I've been reading verse 1. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. If you're going to serve the Lord in any capacity, you know, be it king or be it the cupbearer or whatever your duty is, you know, be a Sunday school teacher, an usher, a faithful church member, a soul winner, a bus worker, whatever God has for you. When God gives us a position to do, we need to take it seriously, all right? We need to hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, thus saith, verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how that he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Now I want you to go smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. He got orders from God. You know, now the Lord says, you know, Samuel says, the Lord's going to be with you. You'll be able to do this. You'll be able to do what God's asked you to do. You just be faithful to God, all right? And now he gets specific orders for a specific time, for a specific situation. And we get orders from God for specific situations in our lives. This is one test that came upon Saul. This is what I want you to do, the Lord says. Now drop down to verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Hevaliah, until thou comest unto Shur, that is over against Egypt. Hey, sounds pretty good. Amen. He's doing what he's told to do. Verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Was he told to take Agag alive? No. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and notice, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Now, I can understand what he's doing, and I can understand the decision. You know what? Why destroy something that's good? Let's just destroy the worst of it. And, you know, common reasoning. See, folks, sometimes what we want to do is we want to reason the situation out. If God says, do this and this and this, and you say, now, Lord, I've been thinking about this a while, and I think this would be a good way to handle it. All right, and that's exactly what he did. He took matters in his own hands rather than obeying the commandment of God. You know, when God gives us a direction, we better just follow the Lord, amen? But no, he says, no, I think it'd be all right if I spare the king. I think it'd be all right if I save the best of the sheep and that sort of thing. You know, I think it'd be all right. I'll just do what I think would be best. And so, hey, the Bible tells us to be sure in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. Okay. Pretty soon, here comes Samuel. He comes wandering along, and down in verse 10, as we look on, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Hey, let me tell you, when we disobey the Lord, we think nobody knows about it. A lot of times, God will tap your preacher on the shoulder, and your pastor knows about it. I remember as a kid, You couldn't get away with anything, it seems. Mom always found out, you know? And you say, Mom, how'd you know? How'd you find? And you remember, you've probably all heard it. Little birdie told me. You know? A little birdie will tell the preacher, all right? You know, and we think we're getting away with something. But you see, the preacher is not the one we need to be afraid of. We know the Lord sees it. Amen? And the Lord told Samuel, hey, Saul has disobeyed me. And what I want you to notice is that Samuel grieved and cried all night. It grieves the heart of your pastor when you disobey the Lord. It grieves his heart. It burdens his heart. I'm sure he shed many tears for most of us, I'll be honest with you. Because we're not always the way we ought to be. We're not always the Christian we ought to be. And it grieves the man of God when the people don't live for the Lord. Well, let's look on here. And Samuel rose up to meet Saul in the morning, verse 12. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on, gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Hey, good to see you, preacher. Well, I had a good week. Isn't God good? You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, hey, everything's okay here. You know, Samuel said, verse 14, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Good question. Saul said, they have brought them. I didn't have anything to do with this. You know, honest, I did. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. It wasn't me. The people did it. You know, the people, they spared the best of the sheep, but they spared them to sacrifice unto the Lord. Yeah. You know, they had a good reason. Remember, they thought this through, you know. They did, but really it was the king. It was under his leadership, under his direction. The king disobeyed God, says, you know, I think it might be all right to do this and this, and I've got a good reason for it, and why should we, you know, well, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine sight, was thou not head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the sheep, of the spoil, the sheep and ox and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He's sticking by his story, isn't he? Oh, my. The people made me do it. It wasn't me, you know. The woman which thou gavest me, she made me do it, you know. It wasn't my fault. Really, it wasn't my fault. You know, it's just the way it worked out, you know. And remember when they made the calf, you know. Remember what Aaron said? Hey, the people forced me, and I took all their gold and threw it in the fire, and out came this calf, you know. It's funny sometimes the way we'll lie to try to cover our tracks sometimes, even as adults. I mean, hey, here's the king lying to make himself look good, you know. I'll tell you what, we just realize the Lord knows what's going on. Notice verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I mean, it's one thing to bring a sacrifice. It's one thing to give our money and to give sacrificially. I mean, we all want to see that building built over there. Man, it'd be a great thing if somebody came in and gave a big sacrificial gift. I mean, really gave something big toward. But then if we would go ahead and disobey the Lord, and in the meantime, you know, Lord's not pleased with that. Notice what Samuel said. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Hey, rebellion, you know, you rebelled against God, he said. And rebellion is just like the sin. It's as the sin of witchcraft. You know, I mean, they used to stone witches back then. And you know, it's just as bad. Just as bad. Stubbornness, it's as bad as idolatry. You know, when we get stubborn, you know, well, hey, let's face it, I'm just going to do what I want to do, you know. And we get stubborn about it. It's just like iniquity and idolatry. Well, look at verse 24 and 25 there. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment. He got caught and he couldn't back out of it this time. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. A little lie along with it, but at least he admitted, I have sinned. He did admit that he did sin. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with thee, that I may worship the Lord. What I want you to see there is that Saul confessed that he had done wrong. But you don't see any change of heart. You don't see any real sorrow there. You don't see any repentance there. It's just, you know, I did do it. And by the way, it really wasn't all my fault. I did do it. He's not even admitting full blame, but he did confess that he sinned. He says, I have sinned. We don't see anything, any repentance. Now chapter 16. Chapter 16, we'll not read the whole thing, but we see that David is God's choice for a new king. All right, now we can be replaced, amen? We can be replaced. Look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David, anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, notice, again, remember when Saul was anointed king? The Spirit of God came upon Saul, didn't he? The Holy Spirit of God came upon Saul and says, Saul, you're going to be able to do what I ask you to do because the Holy Spirit's with you. Folks, that's why, that's like I said, that's why you and I can serve the Lord, because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling him like the Christian does today. But nonetheless, the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to live for the Lord, to do right, to make the right decisions, and that sort of thing. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We are able to serve God. So here David has the Holy Spirit on him. He has been anointed by God, and God was with him from that point on. But notice verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, the Bible tells us over in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Are all Christians filled with the Spirit of God? No. We are all indwelt by the Spirit of God. Okay, when we become saved, the Holy Spirit seals us and is the earnest of our salvation. He indwells us. He's with us. You can't get rid of Him. Okay, He's there all the time. But some folks are filled with the Spirit of God and some are not. All right, a person filled with the Spirit of God is going to walk a pretty consistent life. I'm not saying they'll never sin. Okay, we'll never get to that point until we get to the other side. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? But in the meantime, we are going to sin. But folks that are filled with the Spirit of God sin less than folks who are not filled with the Spirit of God. And we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're less likely to do wrong. All right. But when we're not filled, we become open prey for Satan to influence our lives. Because we don't have that filling of the Spirit of God on us, and it's real easy for us to be led astray and go down a wrong path and make some wrong decisions in our lives. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. He didn't have the Spirit of God on him. He began to get away from the Lord, and to the point where the Lord allowed Satan to come into his life and begin to trouble him. You see, now again, there's a little difference. You know, we're talking Old Testament and New Testament, but I think you can see some parallels here, all right? The devil can never possess a Christian, but he can oppress a Christian. But he'll not soon oppress a Christian who's filled with the Spirit of God. And it's like the devil was oppressing him, was getting into his life and messing with his mind and causing him to do things that wouldn't be normal for that man to do. You see, he started out, Samuel told him, says, hey, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and you're going to be able to do some things. You're going to be able to serve me. You're going to be able to be a good king because you have the Spirit of God in your life. When he disobeyed the Lord, had no regard for right, had no regard for what God wanted for his life, was not willing to repent and make it right, he left room for the devil to come in and begin to influence his life rather than the Spirit of God. So we see some things going on here that weren't normal, shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been the situation in his life. Now notice in chapter 16, let's look on here. We saw in verse 14, the Spirit of God departed from Saul, the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Now drop down to verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You see how it worked here in his life? You know, the Spirit of God had departed from him. That evil spirit was troubling him. He says, you know what? I need, his servant says, you need somebody to help you. You need somebody to play some good music. And by the way, good music will refresh the soul. Good music will help you, will encourage you. And it does matter what kind of music you listen to. You notice they brought him in to play the harp. To play the harp. Not electric guitar and the drums, okay? told him to come and play the harp. Have you ever, how many of you ever heard somebody play a harp? Isn't that a beautiful sound? Isn't that a beautiful sound? It's soothing. And that soothing music refreshed him. And it really, really helped him. But then when the music was over, the same old Saul came back again. Nothing really changed. Look at chapter 17. Let's go down to verse 11. Goliath challenges the armies of God. Look at verse 11, chapter 17. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Does that sound like a man empowered by the Spirit of God? He's afraid? Why, with the Spirit of God on you, you ought to be able to stand up against any of God's enemies. Amen? You know, but he didn't have the Spirit of God on him. Now look, let's look on down to verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." You see the boldness that he had? David had God's power in his life. David had a fullness of the Spirit of God in his life. Saul did not. See the difference? Huge difference. You see, Saul disobeyed God back in chapter 15. The Spirit of God leaves Saul. The evil spirit comes and troubles Saul. David plays the music, plays the harp. The Bible says Saul is refreshed. But then music stops, the evil spirit comes back. We see the same cycle over and over again. And it finally gets to the point where even the music doesn't help. It finally gets to the point that he blocks out all of it, and he's in a rage. And while David's playing the beautiful music on the harp, Saul casts a javelin at him, tries to kill him. Unbelievable. You see, what happens here is Saul allowed the music to refresh him. But we never see any repentance. We never see any change. Folks, if we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God, I believe it'd be possible, don't you? We never see that fullness of the Spirit again in his life. And I believe he could have had that, but there was no repentance. And so he never got that back again. Preacher, I really believe that he could have had another chance at it. God's a God of second chances. I want to tell you, glory to God, he's a God of second chances. Hey, if he didn't give us a second chance, I'd have washed up a long time ago. But see, he gives a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. And when we fall, we get up and we go again. Amen? Why? Because God's gracious, and he'll give you opportunity after opportunity. But if you won't take the opportunity that he gives you, that's where he was. He had an opportunity. God's man came and confronted him. And you know what he said? It's really not my fault. No remorse. No remorse. You see, when we leave that, when we leave the Lord, we need to come back to him. There needs to be some repentance in our lives. And I'll tell you what. A lot of times what we have here today is we have folks that they'll come to God's house, okay? And we all find ourselves there from time to time, all right? You know, things go bad during the week. We lose our cool, we lose our temper, we make wrong decisions, we fall down on the commandments that God has for our lives, maybe a little duty or a job that God has given us, maybe he spoke to our hearts about telling somebody about the Lord or inviting somebody to church, handing out a gospel tract. We failed the Lord one way or another. We failed him. But we don't get right. We come to church. By the way, the house of God is a good place to get right. Amen? Why do you think your pastor gives an invitation after every service? Why? It's not just for the lost, But it's so those of us that have gotten away from the Lord, those of us that have lacked some of the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives, and we've made some wrong decisions, it's so we can come forward and kneel down at this altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, yes, I did it. And Lord, I'm repenting right now. For by your grace, when I get up and go back to my seat, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to come back in the same way I was when I walk back out of this place. You see, I want to meet with God at the altar and get things right. That's what the invitation is for. But what happens is a lot of times we'll come to church, our lives all messed up, and thank God we have church, three times a week. Amen. Thank God we have an opportunity to come and get things straightened out. All right, because if we didn't, I get worried when we have a snow day. How many of us can make it to miss a week? You know what I mean? And stay right, So hey, when we come to God's house, we hear the music, and the music's beautiful. I mean, we hear Rosie on the keyboard, and boy, don't you just love that organ? Man, isn't that a blessing when Billy plays the organ, and we hear the music, and we hear the songs of Zion, and we hear our preacher get up and preach, and he talks with us and makes us feel good, and it's like, wow, I'm glad I came to church today. I needed that. And we do. Boy, it makes me feel good. We get up and we walk out, and then Monday comes along. Same old, same old. Nothing's changed. Back in the world, the temptations are upon us, and we wouldn't act like we do on Monday in God's house on Sunday, would we? No, because we have the excitement of being in God's house. We've got the music going on. I mean, the harp's being played. I know we don't have a harp in the church. I wish we did. If one of you can play a harp, hey, bring it. Amen. I love a harp. It'd be a blessing. But folks, we come and we hear the things of God. We hear the music. We hear the preaching. We get excited and we appease our conscience. Makes us feel good, but nothing changes. You go out these doors, never made a trip to the altar. You go out these doors and live the same way we lived when we came in, and we wonder why nothing changed. We wonder why we have so much trouble on Monday. We wonder why we have so much trouble on Tuesday. We wonder why Wednesday is so hard. And praise God, you're back on Wednesday, but did you notice most folks don't come back on Wednesday? How in the world do they make it all week? We get charged up a little bit, but folks, unless we come to the altar. Now, I'm not trying to say that every Christian needs to get out of their seat and every invitation and come to the altar. I've been in churches like that, and trust me, I would lots rather everybody come to the altar for every invitation than nobody come for any invitation. We're somewhere in between, all right? but I'll be honest with you, some of you, I don't think I've ever seen an altar. I'm not here all the time, I understand that, but some folks just never come to the altar. Now, you'll have a hard time convincing me, not because I know you, but because I know human nature. You'll have a hard time convincing me that you don't ever need to come to the altar. We all do, all right? I mean, we all do. And folks, what I'm trying to say here is do we need a refreshing, or do we need a revival? You see, we need to change. There needs to be some repentance. Our life needs to change, not just come to God's house and get refreshed. I mean, coming to God's house and get refreshed is a wonderful feeling. I mean, it's wonderful to be refreshed. I mean, just like a cool glass of water. Boy, when you come into God's house, wow, it's great. But there ought to be a change. There ought to be a change. And I think it's a wonderful thing once in a while when I can sit in my seat and actually put my feet out in front of me, and not get tromped on, okay? I mean, it's nice once in a while to get a pat on the back. I would hope that once in a while when the preacher preaches, he does make you feel good instead of making you feel bad. Hopefully once in a while, we get an attaboy instead of like an old me, once in a while, hopefully we did something right, you know. But sooner or later, he's gonna hit something. He's gonna hit the nail on the head. Sooner or later, it's gonna be like, ouch, that hurt. He was preaching to me, and not because he knew something, but because he knew something. You see, the Lord knew what we knew. And a lot of times, the preacher has no idea. In all honesty, has no idea. I mean, how many times I've been there? How many times does a preacher go to the pulpit and inside he's scratching his head saying, Lord, I don't know why I'm preaching this. I really don't know why I'm preaching this. Lord, I know my church doesn't need this, but God, that's what you want me to preach. But somebody needs it. And God puts it on his heart to preach it. And somebody gets their toes stepped on. And I hope that if that somebody's you, if that somebody is me, I hope we'll do business with God and come to this altar and not leave the way we came in. You see, we don't just need refreshed. We need revived. There needs to be a change. You see, we can't continue on like we were. That's what Saul did. He got refreshed. See, no change. And folks, it got worse and worse and worse in that man's life. I mean, at the end of Saul's life, you wouldn't believe that he even knew who God was. To believe that at one time he was filled with the Spirit of God? Saul? You? Filled with the Spirit of God? No. How many folks are out of church tonight that at one time were filled with the Spirit of God? At one time, they loved the Lord. At one time, they served God. At one time, they were faithful to all the services and were involved in ministry. I mean, maybe worked a bus route, taught a class, something. They were involved. Serving God. When they got caught red-handed. The preacher may not come and shake his finger in your face like Samuel did to Saul. But from the pulpit, the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit will work through the message, and the Holy Spirit may shake his finger in your face, you know. And nobody else may even know about it, but we know. What are we going to do about it? You see, many of the folks that you used to see in God's house, I know some folks have moved, some folks are attending other churches, I know all that. But there are some folks that we used to see that now they don't go to church at all. Well, let's not worry so much about what happened. But am I any better than they are? Are you any better than them? No. The only reason you're still here is you've been doing business with God. And the minute we cease to do business with God, we live in dangerous ground. Hey, what do you want when you come to God's house? You want to get refreshed? I say we need a revival. Let's stand with heads bowed. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. You see, you can't get refreshed if you've never been born again. I mean, the Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sins. You don't refresh a dead man. You don't revive a dead man. You need to be born again. First thing we need is we need to be born again. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you don't need a revival. You don't need a refreshing. You need to get saved. I trust being a Wednesday night, knowing most of you, I'd say that probably everybody here tonight is saved. I don't know about you, but I need a revival. Father, God, I want to be more like you. God, I want that fullness of the Spirit in my life. God, many times I've been caught red-handed. Lord, there's no repentance, God, there's no change. Lord, tonight we have an invitation. And God, if you've spoken to hearts tonight, I pray that we'd come to this altar. Lord, the first step of a revival is doing business with you. The first step toward reviving our hearts is true repentance. Not just I did it, but God, I'm sorry I've grieved you. God, I'm sorry. Help us tonight, we pray.
If you want to come and pray, you come right now. Holy Spirit speaking to you. I know He spoke to me.